Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Johnson Wealth and Income Management and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Johnson Wealth and Income Management is a franchisee of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
What kind of a retirement plan allows millions of people to lose 30 to 50% of their life savings just as they near retirement?
It's a society based on freedom and choice and personal responsibility. There are no guarantees.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to provide lifetime income.
Lifetime income.
And now to our story.
Welcome to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson, powered by the Retirement Income Store and brought to you by Johnson Wealth and Income Management. Are you living the life you want? Are you prepared for retirement as you believe you should be? What are your goals for retirement and how are you going to reach them? In the next 30 minutes of today's program, let's explore the principles necessary to live the capitalized life and the retirement of your dreams. Now, here's this week's Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with your host, Matthew Johnson.
And welcome to this episode of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source, located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Well, how are you today? I hope you're doing well, taking a bit of a breather from the busy week, no doubt. And I just want to say thank you for being here. You know, today we're going to be reaching into the mailbag. That's right. We're going to be pulling out some questions that so many of you have taken me up on the offer to submit questions. Well, there's two different places that you can submit questions to me. The first is the primary website, johnsonwim.com. And if you're not familiar with the website, I encourage you to go take a look at the website, johnsonwim, as in Mary, or management.com. That website is just chock full of all sorts of useful and beneficial information. There's white papers. You can watch my recorded YouTube videos that I do every single week. You can go and listen to previous broadcasts of this radio show, as well as see where I'm going to be teaching next. You can sign up for webinars. You can sign up for workshops there. We keep the calendar of events up to date within the website, and you can always be watching for that. But you can also submit your questions for me right there on the same website. The second website is the podcast website for this radio show, CapitalizedLife.com. It's just that simple. Two words, CapitalizedLife.com. And that'll afford you the opportunity of being able to see all of the previous episodes. You'll be able to listen to every single one of them all the way back to the very beginning, which, let's face it, I wasn't all that great. Still not great now, but it's there. You can listen to them at your heart's content. Use them like one of my clients to put you to sleep at night. We'll be able to learn through osmosis. Sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? All right. Well, today I have probably more questions than I have time. I always bite off more than I can chew, but that's the way that life works for me. So in this case, we're going to delve right in. The first question is Roberta. And man, this is a good question. She says, Matthew, I want to eventually retire. I'm trying to balance that with sending kids to college right now. My husband wants to buy a second home, a vacation home. How do I balance all of this? Well, Roberta, there's lots of things that I could take you through. And I could be teasing you when I say, well, lots of Motrin and a glass of wine. But the reality is that you're feeling what so many parents feel. And this is where we have to start to identify withdrawal types. Now, I know that this probably doesn't sound too familiar to you, but we need to remember that we have two types of withdrawals in our life. We have consistent, steady withdrawals, and then we have lump sum withdrawals. And the consistent, steady withdrawals are generally the withdrawals that we're going to be making in retirement, and those withdrawals are going to be coming from pre-tax retirement accounts. So when you think about a 401k, you think about a 403b, those accounts are pre-tax. They have never had taxes paid on those dollars. And so every dollar is taxable to us when we take it out. These dollars are best taken out over the course of time. So over 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. And that's because by spreading out the withdrawals over the course of time, it helps us to pay less tax. Now, as you can imagine, if you're trying to save for college and you've got kids that are going to be going into college and you're taking out big chunks of money, even if it's just one big chunk of money every year for 4 years straight, or if you have multiple kids doing that multiple times, you can imagine how taxable that's going to be to you. And so when we think about things like paying for college, when we think about things like buying the vacation home, we want to be thinking about using other types of accounts other than 401k and IRA. We want to be looking at post-tax accounts. These are accounts that we're able to funnel money to, and granted, we get no deduction when we do that. When we put money into, say, a joint brokerage account, we don't get a deduction for doing that. But those accounts are taxed as they go. That means at the end of every year, those dollars are taxed. If we have capital gain, we pay capital gain tax. If we make interest and dividends, we pay taxes on the interest and the dividends. And this way, when it comes time to, say, take that first withdrawal for the first kid going in for the first year of college, you realize that you're not going to have to pay income tax on that money like you would if you took it out of a 401k or out of, say, a IRA. You know that if you're not 59 and a half, you would have to pay a penalty tax on top of that income tax. So that's not applicable to a post-tax account. So you wouldn't have to be paying that. And yeah, you may end up having a little bit of capital gain, but that's an okay thing. So it's going to help you determine, based upon your type of withdrawal that you're making, what account your money needs to be saved in. And oftentimes I see parents that are overfunding their 401ks. They're just pumping all of the money into it. And then they wake up one day and they realize, oh my goodness, I haven't saved anything for my kids' retirement. Or they realize after the fact, after taking a huge chunk of money out of the 401k to pay for college or to pay for the lump sum of that new vacation home, that that was a serious mistake. So those post-tax accounts allow you a little bit of flexibility. And certainly that really kind of plays into the four stages of retirement that I teach about. So very often, remember, we have the accumulation stage. That's the stage that Roberta is in right now. She's trying to save. She's trying to accumulate. But she's also, I would say, not knowing her age, that she may even be kind of getting into the transition stage. That's stage two. That's where we're not quite to retirement, but we're getting closer. We're thinking about it. We're having to kind of move some money around, maybe moving some, purchasing different types of instruments and investments in order to get her better prepared for retirement. Go to our website, johnsonwim.com or capitalizelife.com. Submit your question soon, and who knows, you might hear your question on this program. Now, when we think about this next question, I want you to understand that everybody's in a different stage. This next one comes from a gentleman, I'm guessing, I don't know that for fact, by the name of Trillo. Maybe it's just a handle, I have no idea. But Trillo says, I'm in my early 50s. I don't know yet when I want to retire. So how can I figure out when I need to make this transition to income investing? Well, great question. Now, I'm basically being given a few details here from Trillo saying that he's in his early 50s. And the reality is that if you're in your early 50s, you're most definitely going to still be in the accumulation stage. However, he says that he doesn't know when he wants yet to retire. And so what we really want to do, Trillo, is we want to be thinking about the practicality of retirement. We know that there's certain ages that are kind of benchmarks. So 59 and a half is when we can withdraw money from pre-tax retirement accounts, as we kind of covered with Roberta. And we won't have to pay the penalty tax if we wait until we're older than 59 and a half to take a withdrawal from those retirement accounts. The second thing is Social Security. We know that unless we're disabled, drawing Social Security can only be done at the age of 62. That's the earliest age at which we can draw that benefit for us. But then we have other things like, for instance, age 65. That's when Medicare kicks in. And so I think it's important to define pick at least a point. Maybe it's 60 to 70, or maybe it's 65 to 75. Picking a range of age at which you say, that most realistically would fit when I think I might want to retire. So his primary question is, when do I need to start making this transition to income investing? The answer to that question has obviously answers that are different for every single person. But if I had to pick a generality, I would say no less than within 5 years of retirement. And the reason that is we have seen so very often the cyclical cycles and even the long-term cycles of the stock market. And we want to be able to accumulate, yes. And we want to be able to grow and compound our money, yes. But looking forward to retirement means that we've got to be able to start to identify the risk factors within our portfolio. Think about how quickly the market can change. Think about how quickly money can be lost within a portfolio. And consider the fact that even though the market does come back, the market always comes back. No one with two brain cells in their head would ever argue that it doesn't, because it does. It is historically always lost and then recovered. The reality is that we see that there can be very long-term recoveries. In other words, when we think about the dot-com bubble of 2000, we didn't recover from that until 2007. That was 7 years to full recovery. When we think about the Great Recession of 2007, 8, and 9, we didn't recover from that until 2013. And so we have to be able to look at, okay, how long between a loss and a recovery? And this is the reason why I say no less than 5 years. So if age 65 is, say, your kind of line in the sand, Trillo, and this is where you're going to be saying, I want to be able to retire at 65. I want to be able to turn on my Social Security. I want to be able to turn on my Medicare and just be retired. Well, then no later than at age 60 do you want to begin to start taking serious approaches with your retirement plan, focusing on what kind of money you have, how much you've saved, what it's invested in, doing the analysis to figure out what the risk on that portfolio is, and then starting to take those dollars that you work so hard, which you know are earmarked for supplementation of income in retirement, and begin to build that retirement income portfolio. We want to be able to start transitioning money into things that are going to be producing 5 and 6% in interest and dividends if we can, and start growing that income. And of course, there is sometimes limitations. People sometimes work for corporations and they can't roll any of their retirement until after they've retired. That could be the case, but we want to begin that process sooner rather than later, so that when you land in retirement, you didn't have to just drop out of the sky and hit the tarmac with your wheels on fire. You want to be able to gradually descend so that it's a smooth landing into retirement. So thank you for the question, Trilla. Hopefully that was helpful. We're taking questions that you, the listener, have submitted to johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. Stick around. We're going to be coming back with two more really interesting questions that I think you will find to be very, very interesting and maybe even applicable to you and your own situation. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
You're locked on to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson. Have you missed any of today's program? No problem. You can hear all of our shows online anytime, 24/7 at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com.
Important financial questions. Are you feeling confident that you have enough money saved to enjoy a stress-free retirement?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
That's where Retirement Income Sources Investment Advisory Arm comes in. We exist to help you invest your money smartly.
I'm struggling to accept my retirement without a steady paycheck. So can you help me invest into a profitable revenue plan?
Absolutely. We have a fiduciary obligation to you, helping you generate retirement income.
A properly managed, income-oriented portfolio can successfully seek to deliver both short-term and long-term return outperformance to help solve most challenges investors face when investing for a more successful, sustainable retirement.
Call Johnson Wealth and Income Management at 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com.
The Retirement Income Source. Assets make things possible. Income makes things happen.
If you're preparing to retire in the next 10 years, this message is for you. You know, one of the biggest sources of income may be how you claim your Social Security. That's right, how you claim your benefits. Do you know your full retirement age? Do you know how much of your benefits may be taxed? Do you understand how to claim on an ex-spouse, or that you even could? For your free, no-obligation Social Security information kit, call 866-290-3837. You could spend hours and hours searching around online only to find some generic calculators that may not factor in inflation, tax implications, your marital status, and hundreds of other variables. And if you call or stop into the Social Security office, they, by law, cannot advise you on which claiming strategy is best for you. For your free, no-obligation Social Security information kit, call 866-290-3837 or visit johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com.
Time now for more of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
And welcome back to the second half of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Well, if you're just joining us, welcome to the program. Today, we're taking questions that you, the listener, have submitted to johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. That's the website. If you're going to go to one of them, that's the website to go to. It has white papers, educational articles, YouTube videos, TV interviews, radio show, podcasts. It gives you all of the upcoming events for our firm where I'm going to be teaching. If it's a webinar or workshop, you get all of the information in that website. It's a great website. If you want to go simply to the podcast website because you want to listen to every single past episode, you go to capitalizedlife.com, just two words, capitalizedlife.com, no hyphen or anything. And that will take you there and you can submit questions to that website as well. So we covered Roberta in the first question. She was saying, you know, gosh, how do I continue to keep all of these plates spinning in the air? You know, I'm trying to accumulate for retirement. I'm trying to pay for kids in college. My husband's wanting to buy a second home. And we learned about the two different types of withdrawals that we have in our life. We have pre-tax withdrawals. We have those steady monthly withdrawals for the basic necessities of life and retirement. And then we have lump sum. And we don't dare take money that we're going to need to lump sum and take a big chunk out, say 40 grand, 50 grand, whatever it is, and put those dollars into a pre-tax retirement account because that's going to cost us an arm and a leg for taxes. We want to be considering post-tax retirement accounts. Conversely, we had Trillo, and Trillo was asking the question, gosh, I'm in a position right now where I'm in my early 50s and I want to retire, but I don't exactly know when I'm going to retire. When do I start making this transition into retirement? And we identified you've got to pick some sort of an age range. What is it going to be? 59 and a half, 62, 65? Age 70, age 73, all of those ages there have something that is a bit of a benchmark. And if we can identify at least some degree of an age at which we would like to retire, I would say no less than 5 years prior to that. Do we want to start making that transition at looking at how we're investing our money and starting to focus on the building of the income portfolio side of our portfolio? So this next question. This is a great one. And I know so many of you have kind of voiced your opinion. This one comes from Carla. And Carla says, right now I'm getting 5% in CDs and short-term treasuries. I'm not retired just yet. I feel pretty good. and I feel like I'm prepared. So what am I missing? Man, that is a great question. And so, Carla, I want to just simply answer it this way. Duration. That's what you're missing. Duration. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the reality is that we are living in a very interesting time, are we not? We have seen where our economy was flying high because of zero interest rates, and that caused inflation to skyrocket. And now we're living in an era in which we're having to fix what we broke. And so we're living in a high interest rate environment, high today, being all relative, because we know the high rates of interest have been even higher than this. They've been three times higher than what they are right now in times past. But the reason I say that you're missing duration is that these times of interest rates and CDs and short-term treasuries, I'm afraid, is not going to last. It's not going to last. It's not sustainable. It's not something that we're going to see for very much longer. And so it's very interesting to me how the human mind tends to forget so quickly. We forget things quickly because that's the way we're wired. We all have what's called the normalcy bias, and we forget things. This is the reason why I bring up the volatility of the stock market so often. I don't do it to scare you. I do it to remind you. Because if it's happened once, if it's happened twice, well, I'll let you finish the phrase. It's going to happen again. And generally, when bad things happen, number one, there's no good time for something bad to happen. But it's always going to happen at the worst time, right? That's just the way that it works. That's the way that life is. And so what we want to know is that the Federal Reserve is wanting, they're desiring to be able to bring interest rates back down, to get back into normalcy, but they're keeping interest rates elevated right now because the metrics that they're looking at for this inflation is still running a little high. It's running a little hot. And so, believe you me, mark my words, we're going to wake up one day and they're going to go, okay, now's the time. And they're going to start trimming those interest rates. And before you know it, Carla, the interest rates that you're making on the short-term treasuries, the interest rates that you're making on those CDs is going to be a thing of the past. And when we look past the last 24 years, what we can deduce from that history is that interest rates have been much lower for a much longer period of time than interest rates have been high. So this is a very short-term thing. And so what we know about our money is if we're realistic and we use, say, the rule of 72, it's important for us to be able to get our money into something that is going to be able to produce that net 5% for the foreseeable future, for not just the foreseeable future, but for the next 10 years, the next 15 years, the next 20 years. This is the reason why I speak so very often about contractual investing. The CDs are contractual, no question. Short-term treasuries are contractual, no question. But they don't have any duration. And the reality is that if you look at CD interest rates right now, you see that the better paying CDs are the very short-term CDs. You can't go to a local bank, that community bank, and get a 2 or 3 or 4 year CD that's paying you 5%. It's just not going to happen. Because the banks aren't dumb. They know that interest rates are coming down and they don't want to be paying you an elevated interest rate while they're making less as a result of interest rate changes. So this is where you have to begin to investigate outside of the world of, say, CDs and short-term treasuries. Even if you are a nervous Nelly and you love everything insured, you can look at things like fixed interest annuities. You can get fixed interest annuities that are paying north of 5% plus right now that are contractually guaranteed. They don't have any fees. They don't have any loss exposure. And they're going to be something that you can get for a much longer duration of time. So duration is what you're looking for. I know it feels good right now, but mark my words, it's going to change. So that's what I would suggest that you're missing. Thank you for the question, Carla. You can submit questions to the primary website, JohnsonWIM.com. The second website is the podcast website for this radio show, capitalizedlife.com. It's just that simple. Two words, capitalizedlife.com. The second question of the second half comes from Thomas. And Thomas says, I've looked into long-term care insurance, but I personally think it's way too expensive. What is your opinion of it? Great question, Thomas. So you're right. It is expensive. It's very expensive. But the reality is, it's even more expensive to go to the nursing home and pay for it out of your own pocket. And I know that that's very unsavory. But let's look at statistics. The statistic is that one out of every three people in this country, as they age and they get older, are going to need some sort of long-term care. So essentially, you've got a one-third chance that you're going to need some sort of long-term care. So when it comes to long-term care and paying for it, obviously you have two choices. Choice A is to take the risk that you, and if you're married, your spouse isn't going to need any kind of home health care or skilled care in the future. And that's completely right. And if you choose to pay for it out of your pocket, well, it's no doubt probably going to affect your surviving spouse if you pass away, or at the very least, it's going to affect your children because it's going to be cannibalizing your estate. You're going to be giving things up, whether it's money or assets, in order to pay for that long-term care stay. And who knows, you might get lucky like my dad and only spend 3-4 months in the nursing home before you die. But it is going to be an expensive stay, no question. The second option that you've got is to shoulder the burden of responsibility by putting it on that of an insurance company. And this is where we have to start getting creative. The reality is let's say that there's a long-term care policy out there that you could purchase that, number one, you didn't know if you were going to need it, but it really didn't matter if you were going to need it or not because maybe your spouse might use it. This is where shared care policies, I think, are a big plus because they're going to afford you to basically have a bucket of money. It's something that both of you can draw out of or one of you can draw out of it. And even if it's not a terribly large policy, let's say it's only $250,000 policy or even $100,000, that's a $100,000 bucket of money that you get to use. And granted, yes, you spent the premiums on it, but how many years would you and your spouse have to be alive in order to even put $100,000 away specifically for long-term care insurance? The second thing is, outside of a shared care policy, you want to remember that in some instances, long-term care insurance can be tax deductible for you. So if it's possible to sweeten the pot with a bit of a tax deduction, well, I'm all for it because it's something that more and more states, even the government, understands that even since COVID, long-term care costs have skyrocketed because we do not have the workforce within the long-term care industry, the nurses and all of the people that work in these care facilities. And so these care facilities are having to jack up their prices because they're demanding a higher wage, many of these employees, for the work that they do. And many of them still are getting underpaid. So long-term care, even if you don't think you will use it, there's always that possibility. And this really circles back to how you invest your money. Because if you're investing your money properly for income, properly for the stage of life that you're in, the go-go stage, the distribution stage of your life, and eventually you get to the no-go stage of your life, the fourth and final stage, well, you're not going to be taking all the trips. You're going to have more income than you need. And that income that is being produced, that 4%, 5%, 6% off from your portfolio, can be used every single month to pay for that long-term care policy to give you the peace of mind that if it does happen, you're not going to be cannibalizing your estate. And that's going to leave more for a surviving spouse. It's going to leave more for your kids and your grandkids. So I'm a proponent of long-term care insurance if you can qualify. Well, there you have it, folks. Another show in the sack. Lots of good questions. Remember, go to our website, johnsonwim.com or capitalizedlife.com. Submit your question soon, and who knows, you might hear your question on this program. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, it's up to you to make today a great day.
That's all the time we have for today. To schedule 15 minutes with Matthew off the air, call 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. We will be back again next week at this same time for another Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.